I want you to take a minute and think of somebody, maybe a couple of people, that you have had in your life that you have loved and that you have lost, meaning they've moved on from this world. Think about that for a minute. My freshman year at TCU, I met Zach McElroy. He was from Fort Worth, Texas. He was a high school football star, very smart, personable, and he walked onto the football team at TCU. We pledged the same fraternity, but Zach wasn't around as much as the rest of us because he played football. And some of you know that having a spot on the college football team is kind of like having a job while you're in college. Well, Halloween night, our freshman year, TCU was playing Wyoming on national TV, ESPN2. And when you pledge a fraternity, you may not know this, but you don't get to pick out your own Halloween costume. It's conveniently selected for you. And so Zach looked up from the sideline, and there we all were, sitting in the stadium, sipping warm Keystone Light. We had snuck into the game. I was Chewbacca from Star Wars. Somebody was a French maid. We had Zorro, warrior princess, a cheerleader, and a few other costumes that had been carefully selected for us, and they put us on national television. Now, I think it was during that football game that Zach and a few others figured out that we were having more fun than they were getting beat up on the scout team, and so they decided that was going to be the only year on the football team. And we all got to spend more time together, and we all became much closer friends, and our friendships deepened. Truth be told, I had and still have one of the greatest groups of college friends that you could ever ask for. We're still very close. One summer, we both lived out west. I was living in Vail, Colorado. He was working at A-Bar-A Ranch in Encampment, Wyoming with a bunch of other college students. I drove up to visit. Every night, they would let the horses out into the field, and everybody would grab a horse and try to ride bareback as long as you can. So some of the wranglers said, get on that horse, he's not that fast, pretty slow. All right, got it. So I climbed on the back of this horse, they opened the gates, and wouldn't you know it, that was the fastest, baddest horse in the pack. Took off like a bolt of lightning. I lasted about 100 yards before I was under the herd with my head in my hands. The joke was on me. Well, Zach went on to marry Lauren, beautiful girl from Houston. They had two amazing children. He became the CEO of a construction company, chaired the elders at his church, helped coach his kids' sports teams. He was the all-American dad. He had a loving spirit and a contagious energy. Everybody loved him. He was the heart and soul of our group of friends. But this past November, the night before Thanksgiving, I got an awful text message that Zach and his family were driving from Fort Worth to Johnson City, Texas, to be with his in-laws. They were 15 minutes from the house, and a truck crossed over, hit them head on. Zach and his two children, Judson and Lindsay, were killed instantly. Lauren was airlifted to the hospital, was having multiple surgeries, was fighting to survive. I spent a good portion of December in Texas. We had a vigil in Austin, funeral in Fort Worth, but it still didn't feel real. My buddy and his kids were gone. And they had absolutely no idea that it was about to happen. That's why I wear these bracelets on my right hand, to remember that life is short, that it can end at any time, so we all better live to the fullest. That's just one of my stories. What about yours? Who are you thinking about this morning? My guess is this is exactly how the disciples felt on Good Friday. Jesus was dead. Not only that, but he had been executed publicly, violently, and for everybody to see. Despair had set in. The disciples were lost. Matthew tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb early on that first Easter. There was an earthquake rolling back the stone. An angel appeared to them saying, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. for he has been raised. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go and tell his disciples, he's been raised from the dead, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. And so the women ran to tell the disciples, but as they went, they encountered Jesus face to face. And they fell at his feet, and they worshiped him. What's Easter? Easter is the power of God's love to take the absolute worst that people can do and not let it be the final word. Easter is the world's great history lesson of how God's love turns despair into joy and defeat into victory and death into life. And in a world that has the kind of pain and heartbreak that ours does today, we need to hear this great news. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Now, Easter proves many things. First, it proves that Jesus was who he said he was. He's the Son of God, and everything he taught and promised throughout his life and his ministry was true. If the resurrection had not happened, then Christianity would simply have been a movement of Jewish believers in first century Palestine whose hopes were shattered and torn when their leader was executed and when his prophecy did not come true. But it did come true. And we know that everything he said, everything he taught came to pass. The second thing that Easter proves is that there is life after death. So we don't have to stand beside the grave of a loved one, a friend, a family member, a child, and wonder if we'll get to see them again. You know, death to this world is a temporary separation. I look forward to the day when I can see Zach, I can see my mother, I can see other friends that I've loved and lost, and I know many of you feel the same way. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Third, Easter reminds us that there is still life on this side of death, no matter what happens. Remember how we all felt a year ago after the Covenant shooting? Three kids, three adults were killed. The shock, the hurt, the pain, the darkness, the anger. But we had to press on. And we've made it through together. And if you were here Wednesday night, we had a beautiful service honoring those families, remembering young Evelyn. Life goes on even after the worst happens, and we have to remember that. But here's my question for you today. If you live your life in the hope of Easter, and that's what we're called to do, what does that look like? What does that mean? Yes, I believe that death is not the end. I believe that life goes on beyond the grave. I can't explain it, but I know that it's going to be wonderful in heaven. But what does the resurrection mean for us while we are still alive in this world, while we are still fighting the battles, while we are still coping with all the things that we cope with? I'll tell you what it doesn't look like. Being fearful, angry, anxious, hateful, resentful, irritable, envious. So what does it look like? First, the power of Easter helps us to live our lives unafraid. Not in the irresponsible sense where you just say and do dumb things, but quit letting fear hold you back. As I grew older and raised my own three children, I am amazed at the ways that fear continues to creep into our lives. There's one phrase in Matthew's account that I think might be the best Easter sermon that we have. It's four words. You see it multiple times. Do not be afraid. The angel says to the women, do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has been raised. Jesus later appears to the women and says the exact same thing. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. I think that might be the Easter message. Stop living in fear. Too many of us live our lives in fear every day. But it's no way to live. Fear we're going to run out of money. Fear we might be abandoned. Fear of being rejected, fear that somebody might come shoot up the church, and we prepare for that. Fear our lives won't matter, fear that our health won't hold up, fear that our kids won't respect us, fear that our marriage may not make it, fear that our country's doomed no matter what happens, fear that Nashville's getting too big, fear that our best years are still to come, and yes, fear that one day we're going to die, but we're all going to die. We just don't know when. But we can't live like this, afraid, anxious, worried, scared, nervous. It takes the joy out of living. It's not what God intends. The Bible, from beginning to end, says, do not be afraid. Do not live in fear. Secondly, experiencing the power of Easter means that we do our best, our very best, to live with warmth and kindness in a world that often feels cold and cruel. To paraphrase that, don't be a jerk. To be kind, you have to be present. And to be present, you have to focus on exactly where you are right now. Jesus was kind. He was compassionate. He cared about the poor. He cared about the sick. He cared about other people enough to always stop and help them. The problem in our hurried, anxious, and busy world is that we often feel as if we don't have the time to stop and help others. And if your life is so busy that you don't have the time to stop and help others, then you might not be following Jesus. Resurrection people are warm and hospitable. I shared this definition of kindness with you back at Christmas. Haven't seen some of you since then. I'm just giving you a hard time. But I've reflected upon these words a lot. So hear these words. Kindness is evidence of impenetrable strength. It's the willingness to stay soft in a world that tries to harden you at every corner. It's the ability to absorb your own emotions and diffuse them, to decide what you want to act on and what you want to put back out into the world, regardless of what the world has put you through. Kind people are not just good. They are heroes in their own ways. Their ability to not reciprocate unkindness to a world that often deserves it makes them catalysts for the deepest healing to occur. Jesus taught, turn the other cheek, go the extra mile. You don't control what comes at you in life, but you do control how you're going to respond. So people can be mean-spirited. They can say things that hurt, but you don't have to return the favor. Kindness is one of the fruits of the Spirit that Paul identifies in Galatians. It becomes evident when we are spiritually grounded and anchored in God and prayer and scripture and community. And the people that truly deserve our kindness are the people closest to us. But so often they get the crumbs, right? Third, the power of Easter enables us to practice forgiveness and reconciliation in a broken world. People who have been changed by Easter understand that forgiveness is essential. Nothing is possible without forgiveness. Not community, not church, not marriage, not family, not friendship, not anything. Why? Because we hurt each other, oftentimes without even trying to hurt each other. N.T. Wright says Jesus' followers are to go out into the world equipped with the power of his own Spirit to announce that a new reality has come to birth and that its name is forgiveness. Resurrection and forgiveness are the hallmarks, the telltale signs, the characteristics of the new creation, the new way of living. And what does Paul say? If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. The old has passed away. Everything's become new. And that's how we have to live, friends, as if we are a new person with a new beginning. And lastly, the power of Easter reminds us of what Jesus was all about. What was that? Love. Remember Maundy Thursday in the upper room? I give you a new commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. They will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. But why is that so hard? What's the opposite of love? It's not hate, it's fear. Which then brings us back to my first point. We have to live unafraid. Every single day we have the choice to love. It's not always convenient. We're not always in the mood. It remains a choice. And love is patient and kind. Love is not envious, boastful, arrogant, or rude. It's not irritable or resentful. It doesn't insist on its own way. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love is hard, and love never ends. And because people get hurt, and because they are afraid, they stop loving. And it's understandable because life is hard, it hurts. But it's not what Jesus said. I started my message today by talking about losing my friend Zach and his children. His wife Lauren is now having to relaunch her life without a family. But I can assure you that when you've been through what she's been through, when you've been through what our friends Mike and Katie have been through this past year, you begin to understand and experience the power and the hope of Easter. Amen.